You are listening to Radiant Creators, a collaborative project composed of people whose passion, purpose, and dedication requires forging their own unique path of empowerment and livelihood. A Radiant Creator isn't making a living, they are living.
I love it, it was great. So, you are Greg, are you forgetting your last name?
Allison.
Greg Allison.
Greg, I'm Greg.
Same thing, C&G are interchangeable. Your presentation was great, about worms. And also you're a NASA scientist. I love that. Gosh, how did you actually get into worms? I mean, because you were a NASA scientist first, right?
Well, you know, I work for the government as a subcontractor, and our budgets are unstable, the politics is unstable, office politics can be somewhat less than absolutely thrilling at times. And I was already organic gardening. I was already looking into things to improve my organic gardening process. But in the meantime, I'd been asking myself, what can I do on my own 2 acres, stand on my own 2 feet, on my own 2 acres to make a living? And when I was going through the worms, I discovered that worms have a capability of producing a high specific value in a small area, small volume. In rocketry, we have a similar term for propulsion efficiency. It's called specific impulse. Specific impulse is the unit of pounds of thrust per pound of fuel consumed, you know, per second. The way it all divides out, the units of specific impulses, seconds. So the efficiency is measured in seconds, ISP. Okay. So it's given to you like, a space shuttle main engine, which will be the new RS-25 for the SLS, has one of the highest specific impulses of any engine, maybe, you know, 425 seconds, you know. So that's what you're looking at, is something that gives you high return for small volume, small input. I did a video on my channel, Green Greg's, about why raise worms. And one of the things I showed was out of 5 4x8 boxes, just laid out in a small little area, that in terms of total production of worm mass, the equivalent of dressed out beef would take an acre of land to raise on an eastern farm. So where you have grass, less so than other places. So I said, hey, I can produce a steer a year right here. Am I clear? So that's the kind of thing that got me into it. So you can produce worms, which are great for the garden, great for fishing. You get to recycle all your garden waste, food waste, yard waste, any kind of biological waste, even paper. And so it's a great recycling system. And you not only produce the worms, but you produce worm castings, worm compost. You can make worm tea from the worm beds. And so you have an enormous output that you can achieve in a small area.
Yeah.
And so that's what got me into it. I said, wow, this is a pretty amazing stuff. And so everything starts from the ground up. The basic level for our society, for our life, is the soil from which fruit is grown. Now, we may have other derivatives and ways of growing food, like I do aquaponics also. But somewhere in the chain, in the process, things started in the soil.
Yes.
And so there are derivative processes that give you high efficiency, and you can do a lot with it, and I do employ and use those.
I love it.
Myself. So I don't say everything has to be raised bed gardening, but I do raised bed gardening, and I do use a lot of worm castings in that process. There are great efficiencies in raised bed gardening. I did mention in my talk that I knew this family from Pasadena, California, that on the 10th of acre grew all the food that they ate, minus the grain products, and sold the excess produce and made a living off of it for them. Now, they live simple lives. There's 4 adults living off this, but they didn't have great needs. Everything they needed was basically there. They didn't have to fight the rat race to go to work. They didn't have to deal with office politics. And they were the happiest, most well-adjusted people I've met anywhere. And it was like a spiritual experience going to see these individuals. I thoroughly felt enlightened. I was walking on cloud 9 when I left there.
Oh, I love it. Wow.
Awesome people. And now the father has died, but the 3 children still live there and they continue the traditions. They're an awesome family. Awesome family.
And how many years have you been growing worms now?
Well, I studied worms and raising worms for a full year before I got them. My first worms arrived on 26 April 2011. The next day we had a major EF5 tornado come through our area and several other tornadoes that day. It was a major day of tornadoes in my region. and our power was out for about a week. So I threatened, that's how I can remember the date. Mm-hmm. And I've threatened to call my worms ever since, little red twisters.
The red twisters, I love it.
And some red wigglers.
Oh, the red wiggler is a magical thing. And, well, after I watched your presentation, I thought to myself, I should be growing worms. I should have some, because I do garden, of course, and yeah. I think to myself, well, how often have I gone and gotten worm castings? This is kind of silly. And there's, it's an extreme form of self-sufficiency. It's a wonderful thing. I mean, even if a person is a small-scale gardener, I mean, all you need is one cat litter, plastic cat litter container, like you were saying, and you've got a worm farm. You're creating such, and you're creating really, I mean, the a very perfect organic fertilizer.
And the
tea you can spray with.
Yeah.
And you can, I mean, and you can spray earthworm casting tea, earthworm, I guess tea.
Just call it worm tea.
Call it worm tea. You can spray that in house plants.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They can grow well.
Yeah.
Anything, any living plant will benefit from worm tea, including weeds.
Oh,
any living plant will benefit from worm tea. And benefit greatly, I might add.
Oh, I love it. Wow.
So you have to have other methods to control the weeds.
Yeah.
So you probably don't want to feed them, not most likely. But there are some weeds that are actually better than the vegetables in terms of nutrition content.
Dandelions,
that's a good one, yeah.
People call them a weed, but...
Yeah, and that's a severe miscarriage because they are so potent, so great. So I hate it that all the Roundup commercials focus on killing dandelions. They always show a dandelion as being what they're trying to kill. It's like, really? That's awful.
That's the thing. It's nature is trying to feed us.
Yeah.
It's trying to make us healthy, happy, and wise. It's going, hey, look, dandelions, this is what you need. It's just
you can eat every part of a dandelion.
Yeah.
The flower, the stem, the roots. And the roots, you know, you can harvest even at any time of the year, really.
Mm-hmm. It's deep. So what was some of your high points of the show? Something particularly moving that you're walking away with from the show?
That I got from other presentations?
That you got from other presentations.
My highlights of the show come from interfacing and meeting with the people here, the mingling, the discussions, and there is a thrust, a vector to it. There's a vector that's talking about...
We're rocket scientists.
Yeah, well, we're talking here. Oh, yeah, thrust, a vector. You know, sometimes I take that lingo for granted, you know. A direction, people, and then lay speak, you know. A vector is a direction. A thrust is how hard it's pushing.
Yeah.
Like my buddy who put a rocket engine in the back of his pickup truck used to say, in thrust, we trust.
Oh, that's so great.
That's a propulsion thing. But I think some other communities use that too, unfortunately. But anyway, what I have taken away is a lot of people here have a strong interest in the formation of communities.
Mm-hmm.
We realize that trying to survive and prep for things that might come at us on our own, it's very risky. If we can start forming communities, our prospects go way up for survival, way up, and our quality of life can be substantially better. And so these communities should be communities we come together in and live in, and we can't all move to the same place, but if we could form a number of communities around the country, it would be spectacular. We have to start in one place or another. So my habitat concept that I showed is one idea for what could be the basis for how you live, the kind of home you can live out of. In a community like that, it would be designed to be capable of surviving all the crap that might come at you and enable you to produce your own food, because it would have a tenth of an acre encapsulated within it, like an airship on steroids. It would rely on thermal mass so that you would not have to burn a lot of energy to keep your home warm or cool. It would be there for you. So the energy requirements you would have would be very minuscule, and you could harvest those from the sun for the most part. And you'd even get to cool them through thermal pipes running through the ground and using the greenhouse part of the habitat to suck the air up to make it move. So you can get heating and cooling from the sun and heat your hot water and meet your power requirements, which won't be that great. So there's a lot of opportunities you could get from that. You can grow your own food. I have a large area within the home where you can set up to manufacture and make things on your own with 3D printers, lathes, or grow mushrooms, or mm-hmm. have a loom, or a pottery shop, or
yeah.
bar if you want, or whatever.
Yeah, bar is essential.
Yeah, church maybe. You know, but we might want spiritual centers. This is something else that came and Christian Westbrook was talking about. I brought, kind of mentioned this myself. So, he started talking about the spiritual thing and meditation. How several people meditate had such a more powerful effect on things.
Yes.
So I said, we that needs to be part of our community process. We really ought to form groups to meditate on certain things. And he said it actually already started that to some degree.
Really?
So that's an element that could factor into this to help build and stitch. I see here the beginnings of a community.
We have
all these different YouTube channels. Rex Mayer's got the largest channel, and he's kind of drawn a lot of people in together. And, Diamond saw that, and Diamond's been able to use that to develop this conference, to bring us all together, actually bring us together.
Mm-hmm.
And he leveraged on that, and it also played on all the different channels and the people that we've brought together. And so this is a collective community. I feel so at peace among
yes.
people here. And I just get good vibes from everybody. This has the feelings of family and community here. And, we want the same kind of things. We all want good stuff. So we may not all be able to live in the same location. Some people might start in one area. But it would be good if we could start forming communities in various places.
Yes.
Maybe start with one or maybe more. But we need to ferret some of these ideas out a little bit more to get a good ground on it. I'm interested. I might want to do a GoFundMe site for this concept I've got. Although I do want to do a little bit more preliminary stuff in the next year before I probably launch something like that.
I like it. And people can get a hold of you. Your main site is Green Greg or Greg?
Yeah, okay. Now I've got a website that I sell worms from. I ship it. It's greengregs.com. GreenGregs.com. My YouTube channel, I teach people how to raise worms, how to garden, how to grow microgreens. I do talk about prepping, wild edibles, and I talk about risk, like the power grid.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Green space Greg's, G-R-E-E-N space G-R-E, a single G, and no apostrophe and an S, G-R-E-G-S, just like that. But YouTube will suggest two G's, it'll suggest apostrophe, if you click that, it'll take you somewhere else. And I started a space one also. I call it Galactic Greg's.
I love it.
That's a little, I'm a
space
guy.
Galactic Greg's. I love it.
I'm a space guy, so I got to put more attention on that channel. It only has maybe 7 videos or something like that. So it's got, that one has, 370 subscribers maybe. 376, I think. We timing out?
Yeah, that's okay. The audio doesn't. This guy, yeah. Camera's done doing the video. That's fine. We still got our little audio going, so we're good to go.
So we got a podcast going here?
Oh, yeah. Actually, what we got is, so the video is, it's full. That's fine. We got it. I think we got a good ending there where you were at, And, that's audio recording, so that doesn't stop. But the video just went, it stopped on us. But I think that was a good ending point. I mean, that worked perfect. Right as you were right at the right spot. Camera out of batteries.
It covered a lot of territory in a very short amount of time.
We did. It was perfect. In fact, I think that the universe kind of decided that was exactly the perfect spot to end it.
I think the universe is really on our side.
It is on our side. It really is.
I think we can win. We just got to wake people up.
Well, something I got from the conference for sure was...
And we'll have to do it in spite. In spite of all the social media that's suddenly trying to crack down on population who desire something other than where they're trying to hurt us.
Oh, I agree. Oh my gosh.
They're trying to hurt us into the slaughterhouse.
Well, I definitely got a more of a belief in good people and the power of good people, because that's one of the things I like about LeetCon this year. My first time here, I felt relaxed.
Well,
I felt a good vibe.
First LeetCon.
Is the first one or the second one?
It's the first one. Now, they had a little thing they tried to do in the desert, but that wasn't LeetCon.
Oh, okay. So this is the first LeetCon.
Yeah, they had a rendezvous in the desert event. It was not a LeetCon.
Oh, okay. So the first LeetCon, I guess.
Far as I know.
And my first LeetCon 2019. That's the thing. It felt good. It felt helpful. I love the vibe, and it did feel like family, and it gives me more of a belief in good guys. Because I think, really, us fringe dwellers, The Fringe keeps getting bigger, and we've got to come hang out, got to build those communities, and until those communities, and as we're building, as until they are built, and as we're building them, when we come together, you realize the Fringe gets bigger every year. You know, and it's just, it's a great place.
Most of the population knows that what they're getting out of the media is not right. They know something is amiss, and they're not trusting. So they are people that we can wake up easier.
Mm.
So there are people out there that are receptive or potentially receptive. Now, they still have a lot of other mush in their minds that they've been fed. And some of it's entrenched. Now, every person has a worldview.
Mm-hmm.
And every worldview it's like a snowflake. Everyone is individual. And we take in information as it reinforces our worldview, because that's how we interpret everything. So everyone has their own self-custom designed rose-colored glasses that reinforces what you already think, mm-hmm. for the most part. And so what that means is there's some 7 billion different worldviews. So only one of them could possibly be entirely right, so probabilistically we're all wrong. So once we realize that, we can all become humble, become more tolerant of other people, and start working together to figure out what the grander elements of truth really are.
Mm.
But also, that's the knowledge you use to approach people that aren't woke up yet. You have to understand that they are entrenched in their worldview, but some of them are close enough that you can start working on them first. And as we expand this sphere of knowledge, it might pick up, it might accelerate. You know, sometimes you need momentum. And we've got a fair collective of people already heading in this direction. So we've got a really good shot at it. So the mainstream media is trying to fill everybody's heads with mush, but as more of us wake up, this can accelerate enough that they couldn't control us.
Yeah, and it does seem that in many, many people, there's an intuition. There's something telling them that something's not right. That as Game of Thrones says, winter is coming. They sense
yes.
it, and so they're looking for. I think there's a lot of people who are truth seeking right now. They are.
The most unfortunate side of that is they may know this, and they may decide to flip the switch now. Call it to stop us before we get enough momentum. I got to wonder why all at once we're sending ships to over into the Mideast and we're claiming that the Iranians are bombing, and maybe they are, the freighters out of Saudi Arabia, and the tensions have just suddenly ratcheted through the roof, although the news media don't talk about it much yet. And then we've sent 2 aircraft carriers to Venezuela, of all things. Russian troops are in Venezuela. Mm-hmm. We just sailed ships through those barrier islands that the Chinese built as basically landlocked aircraft carriers.
Mm.
And they're not happy with that. They claim that's their sovereign territory, and we have no rights there. So we're saying, no, it's open seas. We've got plenty of rights there. So we are in contentious areas in many parts of the world right now. It's a powder keg. And Iranian philosophy is that it's in their military doctrine. If they have a war with the United States, that they will take out our power grid.
Take out who?
Our power grid.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So I'd hate for that to happen before I get home.
Oh, jeez.
But I did bring a bug-out bag.
Everybody should have their bug-out bag with them.
I brought a bug-out bag.
You definitely should. And so you're driving back to, is it Texas?
No, I'm actually flying back. So my bug-out bag is a much abbreviated version of what
yeah.
I might have otherwise.
Yeah, so, I definitely know my bug-out bag would not make it on a plane without some editing. That's for sure.
Yeah, I edited some things out. A
couple things.
Some that I would have had to claim, went through big procedures to get through, and others I didn't want TSA to tape because somebody liked it.
Yeah.
You got to worry about them pilfering things. And I just didn't want a lot of hassle, so I self-edited my bug-out bag. But nevertheless, I have something. And, with the knowledge, the best thing you can ever have is knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
The bug-out bag is accessories. Your key component to survival is what's between your ears. It's attitude and knowledge. You got to have the attitude, the will to thrive and survive, and the will to work to do that. And the knowledge to know how to harvest wild edibles, how to forage, and how to do things is required. And to really thrive, you better know how to grow a garden.
Oh yeah.
And that's something. And you better know how to garden in ways that where you don't have to run to the store to buy fertilizer and all the pest control stuff.
Yeah,
and that's where the worm farm comes in.
So yeah,
it takes and, back the worms.
And you got to be doing the gardening. I mean,
yeah.
you really can't.
It's a skill.
You can't start later. You got to start now. Kill a lot of plants.
Thanks for listening to Radiant Craters. Check out more content at radiantcraters.com. If you like the show, give it a like. Share this. Comment. Keep the conversation going. You can also find us at alternatecurrentradio.com, where there's this show and a lot more.